leading us in worship. Oh, man, I love that new song, Here Again. We have been doing a series called Along the Way, just to catch everyone up. We went on a trip to Minnesota to minister to a family, and on the way there, we recorded a documentary on Good Samaritan type of choices. And today, we're going to follow another family that extended their hospitality to us and let us stay in their house, again, complete strangers. And as fate would have it, they were here this morning for first service. And so it was a super, super cool moment. They had no idea that we were doing their video this week. And so the people you're getting ready to see were in here this morning that are from Iowa, Ames, Iowa. And so God just works things out in almost miraculous ways whenever you follow the path. And so today, as we watch the video in just a moment, I want you to notice that he uses the word random, and then there's a juxtaposition between random and why not. And as we go through this morning's message, I want us to begin contemplating that when we follow after God, he always furnishes what we need. And so it may feel random, but I assure you, it's not. If the people that were in this video happen to show up on the Sunday that we're doing their video, at some point you have to say that God knows what he's doing. And so if you would watch this video, this is the Kluvers from Ames, Iowa.
So before we ever get going here, we're getting ready to sit down and have dinner. They've obviously provided a great meal for us. Did you know any of these guys that are in this house right now?
Oh, no. Gosh, no.
Did you? I mean,
not
Facebook, anything, Instagram?
No, none of them look familiar. No.
The guys that recommended us, have you ever met them, the Dyers?
No. Talked to Nancy for the first time last night on the phone.
So you met a person tonight in your home that another person recommended to one of your friends. Is that correct?
Three shades of separation.
What I'm getting at.
Yes.
And so the million-dollar question that we want to ask you guys, what made you say yes?
Felt that, like we said, we've been praying about being cognizant and aware of when God's talking to us. And this just, as many things seem to be, very random. And God works in mysterious ways. And so I reached out to my wife and said, what do you think? And she said, absolutely. And so it's all faith. It's all, why not? She just told me about being obedient.
We've almost been like three shades of, sorry, the kids know this.
Kids all know this.
Three shades of divorce within the last like 6 months.
I'm sitting there going, had my faith tested in the past 8 months due to job and everything else and finding out my priorities. And so just been praying about listening and hearing God talk to me.
Here we are in this amazing home with an amazing family, and God did all this. And so I hope in some small way that'll mean something to you guys and your family, and that you guys can see for the rest of your lives, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, if God's in the center of it, he'll provide. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right, give it up for the Kluvers. Man, I'm going to unpack awesome for you guys. We've been going off a premise that we said if you are aiming your life, so your life's arrow, just like a compass points north, you have to aim your arrow at ministry. God has called all of us as Christians to serve others. That is what he said. You can summarize the entire Old Testament with two commandments. Love God first, love others second. So when we aim our lives at ministry, and then we walk by faith and live on mission, we said that you will see awesome along the way. And so today is going to be a great illustration of that. I want to ask you a question to begin this morning's message. Are you open or are you closed? I just want to ask this really simple question. Are you open or are you closed? When it comes to what God would like to teach you, did you come this morning open, ready to receive, or are you closed? For instance, experts in psychology have studied body language. And did you know that, like, if someone is talking to you and they cross their arms, does anybody know this? Like, that means that they are not open. If they cross their legs, if they look away from you, or they low talk you, these are all signs that this person is closed off to the communication. And I know that some people are sitting in here right now and you had your arms crossed and now you're like, what do I do with my hands? It's like, I just want to ask you, are you open or are you closed? Whenever you're open, it's always going to lead to God opportunities. Whenever you're closed, you're always going to miss moments that God intended for your life to change. Isn't it amazing that people would come to God's house to hear God's word and not be open? I mean, what if God was trying to open your mind to something new? Because this is a news flash for some people sitting in the room, that you are not yet arrived at perfection. I know it's a shocker to some, but you haven't arrived at perfection, because as we're in this sin-filled body, God is the master with the chisel in his hand. And we are the giant stones from which he's trying to carve out a masterpiece. Now, this should be an encouragement to some of you, because some of you that might be negative about yourself and about your abilities, about your giftings, you should know this, that he has a masterpiece inside all of us. It's just a matter of whether we're open to saying yes and following after what he has for us. So I want you to begin thinking about that. Are you open? What lessons are you learning? How are you improving? How are you growing? When it comes to your marriage, are you open to saying, you know what, there's probably some areas I need to work on? In your parenting, are you open to saying, you know what, maybe we should look at what the Bible says about how we should aim our kids versus just winging it and going with what we grew up with? When it comes to your finances, are you open? Are you open to being what God wants you to be in those areas? In your career path, are you open? I know all of us that are in management, or if you're an owner of a company, you will always find these people that they come in and they are closed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, they have the way that they did it, right? At some other company, some other relationship, and that's the way that I do it. Well, wait a minute. If you signed on to a new thing, then you have to be open to a new way. And so here, as we begin to examine this story of the Kluvers, I want to unpack how their openness created a great opportunity. Now, I have to back up, and I'm going to try to, everybody take a deep breath, and we're going to try to connect these dots. I want you to put the graphic on the screen. And so the first family we stayed with were the Dyers. So if you look at this guy on the left, now, I don't know if you guys see what I see, but this guy is like one of the nicest human beings on the planet, okay? He's a doctor, ear, nose, and throat surgeon, and so super nice family, super sweet people. And so there he was, and the first night we stayed at their house. And so, awesome, awesome. They went and they cooked out for us. We talked about it 3 weeks ago, how this family were good Samaritans to us, and they demonstrated generosity. So as we left on day two, we journeyed up, and we got all the way to some place in Minnesota, stayed at some house. That was a VRBO, and the next morning, we were off to the funeral. In the meantime, this family, the Dyers, the guy on the left, was so taken with what we were doing that he called person X, okay? Shadow person, X-man, okay? We're gonna call him, because we don't know who this was. And he knew that this person lived up in Iowa, had went to Iowa State and played football. So Ken Dyer, whom we met on Sunday night, okay, through a random phone call and stayed at his house, called person X and said, hey, these guys are on a trip. I felt almost like the Blues Brothers were on a mission from God, okay? For those of you that have seen that movie. And so we are leaving out of Minnesota after the funeral, and we get a phone call from the guy on the right. And he says, hey, I talked to person X. He told me about the Dyers, and they said that you were looking for a place to stay in Ames, Iowa. And he goes, I live in Ames, Iowa. We would love to host you guys tonight. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is like varying degrees of separation here. So you talked to a guy that talked to a guy that said six strangers are wanting to have a place to stay. And he's like, yeah, well, we heard that you were pastors, so we rolled up into their house, and what you saw there, that video, that was the first 5 minutes that we were in their house. And did you notice how open they were in the sharing? That they had just gone through some marriage. And I say that as almost a pejorative, because anybody that's been married very long, have you ever gone through some marriage? Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever gone through some marriage, right? And so marriage will have the highest of highs, but it will have the valley of the shadow of death as well. And here in this moment, the opening moments that we met these people in front of their kids, they're like, hey, they know. In the last 6 to 8 months, we've been through it. Financially, his job, he's a consultant for surgeons, and two of his doctors had freak accidents where they were unable to perform surgery, so his commission directly linked to those. Done. Two of his four, 50% of his income, gone. And then they were going through some marriage stuff that they shared with us, and it was just normal marriage stuff, boundary issues with parents and stuff, like all that kind of stuff. And so we get the phone call, and so when we walked up, they were like, oh, when they said pastors, we thought you guys were going to be like a bunch of old guys. And I'm like, still got it. And so I thought, how open must they have been to receive us into their house so that this opportunity could be birthed? And as we thinking about that openness, and I'm gonna talk more about that a little bit at the end, how that this was a dramatic impact moment for them and their family. And so it's going to seem random as I read this passage in just a moment. And there's a lot of things that we do in our faith that God calls us to that are gonna feel random. And as I read this passage, I want you to begin thinking about how at some juncture, when there's precision, when there's accuracy, when there's a prediction and it comes to pass over and over again, it might feel like it's random, but I'm gonna suggest to you it's not random, it's just God getting it ready. So let's read the passage this morning, Mark chapter 14. It's the time of the Passover. Jesus' ministry is drawing to a close. He has just entered into Jerusalem, and he was a triumphal entry, and they were laying down the palm leaves, and they were crying out, Hosanna to the King. And the Passover to the Jewish people is like our Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving to commemorate all the gratefulness we have for living in the greatest country that has ever been created. And then the Jewish people had the Passover. Their Thanksgiving was commemorating when God set them free from slavery out of Egypt, and they had sacrificed a lamb, and the lamb led to their freedom, obvious foreshadowing of the gospel of Christ. So every year they would observe the Passover in a community feast type of setting. And so in our passage it says, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? He sent two of his disciples, and if you read the other synoptic accounts, this is gonna be John and Peter. He sent John and Peter out, and he told them, go into the city. And this is where it's gonna feel random. There's gonna be a man carrying a water pot, okay? Water pot. You gotta follow that guy. And when he gets to the house that he works at, you're gonna say to the owner of the house, the master, the teacher, needs his room that he's going to observe the Passover in. And you're gonna go upstairs, and there's gonna be a room that is furnished and ready. The disciples followed, and they went out there, water pot, followed the house, go inside, go upstairs, and they found it just like the Lord had said. Man, I want you to be thinking about this morning that openness leads to opportunities. Openness leads to opportunities. In this story, there was two types of open, and in all situations, you gotta ask yourself, which end are you on? There's the openness to follow, and then there's the openness to furnish. And they both go hand in hand in a bipartisan partnership that works out God's divine plan. And so the disciples had to have the openness to follow, the owner had to have the openness to furnish, and then Jesus had to be right about the plan. Now you tell me, how random must it have felt? These are lessons from the disciples. We're gonna look at two lessons from the disciples and two lessons from the owner of the house. Number one, it's going to feel random. Can you imagine walking into the city and you're looking for the guy with the water pot? Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm kind of a cynic. Is anybody else kind of cynical in here? Anybody? I mean, I'm sure there are. Like, I'm imagining, like, they go into town and it's hustle and bustle and there's like 20 guys with water pots on their heads or whatever, carrying. I don't know how they're carrying them. I just thought, I don't know. Anyway, so, like, imagine, it's like, being the disciple, like, how do you know? Like, right? How do you know? Like, which one is it? Is it that guy? Is it that guy? Is it that guy? And so they're sitting there and they're like, at some point, you know, the track record of the disciples isn't that great at getting it right, right? So Jesus is hinging his plans on what we now know as the Last Supper, on the disciples being able to discern and divine and follow in the midst of chaos. And so they walk out there and they find the guy. There he is. He's got the water pot. That's the one. Follow him. Now imagine being the guy with the water pot. Two strangers from out of town are following you, and every time you stop, they stop, all right? And then you go by the grocery store, and there they are, slowly following you. No, no, just go ahead. Just go ahead. And they get to the owner's house, and I can relate to this. After this trip, I can totally relate to this. There's a little bit of anxiety. You're going to a stranger's house. You have had a guy call X man. X man has called this guy, and now they said yes. So you're thinking, like, what is the type of person that would invite a stranger into their house? Is it an axe murderer? I don't know. And so there's as we're rolling up to this house, you get there, and it feels so random because you know you're getting ready to go in there, and you know you're staying the night, but you don't know what you're going to get. And I can't even imagine being on the other side of it, because I know how crazy I am. They don't know how crazy I am, right? And so we go up to the house, and it felt so random. For the disciples, it felt so random. But here's what you're going to have to learn. Lesson number two. It's not random. It's just God getting you ready. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Listen, I'm telling it to someone right now. Listen, look at me. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. It might feel like it's random, but it's not. There is a plan. For instance, the disciples could have eaten that Lord's Supper anywhere, right? You agree? They could have had it anywhere. The place didn't really matter. And yet God, his plan always has precision. He knew exactly where he was going to eat that supper, that meal, that Passover, that night. The disciples did not know what Jesus knew. So they had to have the faith to follow the plan, even when it seemed random, even when it seemed unusual. And so they began following, and we notice that they didn't know the destination until they arrived. Did anybody else catch that? So they're just following water pot guy, all right? And then they're like, oh, this is it, this is it, this is it. And you know there's that moment of anxiety they had to have going up to this guy, and it's like, Jesus almost has a sense of humor. Do you guys notice this? Like, he sends them out, two guys, follow the guy with the water pot. When you get to the house, tell him the master needs that. I mean, it's like so cryptic, right? And so you know they get to the house, and they're like, here it is, here it is. And I wonder if there was an argument. Like, Peter, you do it. No, John, you do it. Peter, you're the one he says he loves so much. So John's like, okay. The master says he needs the house. Said you'll have a room, and it's prepared. And the guy's like, yeah, come on. And you know they're like, trust the plan. Trust the plan. Some of you want to know the destination. That's not your part in this play. Your part is to have the faith to follow even when you don't know the destination. Even when he says there'll be one guy and you're thinking like, how am I going to know? It's the right guy. I don't want to get this wrong. I want a place to stay tonight. No, there'll be one guy. You'll know. And so they go, okay. And then he's going to take you to a spot. And then it's going to be just like I said. What if someone was on a journey right now, and they were in the midst of the random portion of the journey? What if I told you, if you have the faith to follow, God has made a promise that he will always supply the faith to furnish from somebody else? Wouldn't that be an incredible message for someone that was in the midst of random? If you could trust like the disciples, and your part is just to follow the next step, and eventually, he'll get you to the place that has already been furnished. Man, somebody just learned a lesson that they needed to help them through this season in life. Now, I thought that would be such a simple message to preach. I mean, you know, follow and God will furnish. I mean, who wouldn't want to hear that message, right? But I thought, why don't we take it from the other side? Because I've never heard somebody preach on the faith of the owner of the house, the faith to furnish. Now, that's something different. Because it says when they got there, it was already ready and furnished. I want you to think about the voice inside the owner's head that had told him ahead of time to get it ready. Get it ready, get it ready, get it ready, get it ready. All right, let's do it. I love doing this. Look at the person next to you, slap them on the shoulder and say, get it ready, 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 get it ready. Teenager's a little over-exuberant over there. All right. Get it ready, get it ready, get it ready, get it ready. Does everybody hear that? Get it ready. Now think about this for a moment. They had to get it ready. The owner of the house had to get it ready before they even knew who it was for. Think about that for a moment. They were just getting something ready. Can you imagine if the wife was up there and she's getting it ready? I don't know, did the voice go out to her? Did it go out to him? Did it go out to them together? But they're up there getting the room ready, and maybe one of them asked, like, who is this for? And they're like, we don't know. We're just getting it ready. That's our role in this play, is to get it ready. I wonder what level of open somebody would have to be to get something ready for someone else, even though you don't know who it is. As we stepped into the Kluver house, it was apparent that God had been getting it ready. If you listen to him, he said 8 months he had been through a trial. She said, we were three shades from divorce. As they began to unpack that at dinner, I heard that. I didn't act on it. Be careful. Timing is everything in conversations. Everything. I waited. We were at dinner. We had a glass of red. We had some food on the table. And I circled back. I said, you know, you brought this up, and I don't want to pry, but you said things were in a little bit of turmoil. They went into the story, and we were able to minister in that moment as a result of them being willing to be authentic. Now, wait a minute. Authenticity creates connection at a rapid rate. When we are secret with our sin or fake with our Frisco facade, I'm telling you right now, God can't work with secret sin. And we say to ourselves, I don't want someone to know. They'll judge me. They'll do this. Those are all lies the enemy whispers in your ear to keep you where you're at. But if you'd be willing to be authentic, then other people can reach in and minister and encourage in your greatest moment of need. Here they were in the first 5 minutes, and they said, boom, this is where we've been. And I knew at that moment that God had been getting the house ready. We could have stayed anywhere that night if you believe in random. But if you believe in his plan, there was only one place we were ever going to stay on a trip we didn't plan. And that was the Kluver's house in Ames, Iowa, on Thursday night or on Wednesday night. Man, the owner has to listen to the voice that says, get it ready. Get it ready. You as a believer of God, there's going to be times where you're the person getting something ready. It's in your hand to do. It's in your hand to give. It's in your hand to serve. Don't ignore the voice that says get it ready, because when we look at this story and we hear the story that we experienced, it all becomes a great metaphor for life. If you're willing to listen to the voice that says get it ready, others are going to enter into what you have prepared. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus came to the house. So Jesus entered into the owner's generosity. Do you see what I'm saying? When you're open and you're willing to say yes in obedience, it creates an opportunity that Jesus can step in to what you have prepared. Others can step into what you have prepared. A new story will be written as a result of your generosity, because you listened to the voice that said, get it ready. And what is the message? The Lord's Supper. This is the body that was broken for our transgressions. This is the blood that was shed at the cross that has the power and only has the power to forgive us of our sins. Because the owner of the house listened to the voice that said, get it ready, Jesus stepped into the generosity, and because they had a desire to bless, Jesus had an opportunity to broadcast the life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say amen and give God a round of applause. Because he is working it out. He is working it out, folks. This morning, if you're on the side of the owner of the house, if you would get it ready, wouldn't it be incredible to watch how things change as a result of your generosity? God taught me such an incredible lesson. It's humbling to ask somebody to stay at their house. I don't know if you've ever had to do it. But we're asking random strangers, and these people came through, and God does this thing with the bullet points, man X, and we end up staying at this house, and it all felt so random. But yet, as I was in the midst of the moment, someone asked, like, we kind of had a powwow that night, and this was in the basement of their house, and like, what's God teaching you? What's the lesson you're learning? And there we're on like night three of this trip, and what God showed me was, we were in a position to receive and take because we're staying at their house and they got this food and they've cooked, and it's so humbling, right? For us to, I don't know if you're like me, I don't really like to take. I don't receive very well. And yet, when I heard their story, I realized that we had an opportunity to give. And God was like, you see, it doesn't matter what position you're in physically, if you have God inside of you, you have something to give spiritually. And so there's always an opportunity for you to be a giver, no matter what position of power you're in the relationship. You might be physically in a position of weakness. You might be positionally in a place where you don't have more money than that person. You don't have this. You might be the lowest employee on the totem pole. And yet, if you have God in the midst of that situation, you have something to give. You're an agent of transformation in the midst of your moments. And so here we were. And God was like, minister to this family in what appears to be random. And we ministered to them. And she leaned over to my wife after the first service. And she said, you will never know the life-changing moment it was for that team to stay in our house. We have never known God like we know him now. We gather as a family with their three daughters around the TV on a regular basis and have watched most of the sermon series from Genesis Metro, and then we have a devotional around that message. So all of a sudden, what appeared to be random, and when we appeared to be takers, now all of a sudden we're givers because we had God in our lives. So what am I trying to say to you? You have the power to bless. All of us, if you know God, have the power to bless. Now, there's two people that have to play two roles, and this is where you have to know your role. Sometimes you're going to be on the position that has to have the faith to follow. You're not going to know everything, and that's okay. You just have to know that God's going to get you there. And then some of you are the owner of the house. You have to have the faith to furnish before you even know who it's for. And then the beauty of God's kingdom work is that when people have the faith to follow, and when people have the faith to furnish, the message will always go forth, because the faith to follow and the faith to furnish both have to trust Deuteronomy. Look at this verse in Deuteronomy. I know it is the Lord that has gone before me, that he will not fail and he will not forsake. So do not be fearful or dismayed. The Lord had gone before us on a trip that we didn't plan. We had these interactions with people that we now have relationships that we've impacted life change, all as a result of us having the faith to follow and them having the faith to furnish. And now God steps into this and brings it to life for you to walk into what someone else prepared. Isn't that amazing? So every week, your life is this. If you prepare yourself today, then other people, including Jesus, will step into your generosity and other people will be blessed as a result of your faith to follow and your faith to furnish. Let's pray. Father, we ask, God, that you would take this message, that you would weave it into our hearts, and that you would burden us, God, to be either the follower or the furnisher here today. That we would not be so wrapped in greed that we make life about ourselves, but that we, with open hands, with open hearts, with open minds, receive your word, God, that you're working out the masterpiece of your Son from the inside out. And God, let us throw away that spirit that says we have nothing to give, that we don't have the talents or we don't have the resources that other people have, as if that is an excuse. When we have Jesus, we have the answer to the world. We have the answer to sin. We have the answer to brokenness. We have the answer to people that are on the verge of divorce. And somehow, some way, God is able to get the right person to the right place in order to broadcast his message. Oh, it's not random that you walked in here today. It's not random that the family that we videoed 4 months ago happened to choose this Sunday, and they didn't know what we were showing on the Sunday that they came, and it was their Sunday. That's crazy, folks. At some point, can you agree that you need to trust the plan? Trust the plan. No matter where it takes you, no matter what he asks, trust the plan. And when you get to the destination, you will see it is just as he said it would be. Would you stand and worship with us today? If he has ever furnished for you in a way that you could have never expected, if he has ever shown you that he has gone ahead and prepared the way, man, can we worship him out of the gratitude for all that he has done for us this morning? Let's sing.